Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
A great Wednesday to all of you. February, 24 days old in 2021. Grant and Danny on the air on 106.7 The Fan. John Carlson of the Capitals asked to tell us what went wrong against the Penguins last night. He joins us at 2:45. Danny, what's up?
Today, better than last night. Nice little DC Deucing in effect. Two teams play, two teams lose. One as a nice bonus to a hated rival. Every time they're successful, I get mad inside and I have to swallow down my bitterness like a jagged little pill, Alanis Morissette. Wizards lost second game of back-to-back against the terrific Clippers. Honestly, not a lot of shame in that to me. I don't think what they've done recently was diminished by last night. Maybe I'm in the minority on that, GP, but, you know, they're 11-18. That doesn't look good, but you win 5 out of 6, one of those losses to the Clippers, a legit, honest-to-goodness title contender, when they're operating at maximum and they're not playing on a back-to-back, it's not the worst thing in the world to me. So I'm not diminished with how excited I am about the recent Wizards play. But, God, I hate losing to the Penguins, man. I just do. I can't stand it. I know that the players will be fine. They'll move on. It just hurts. I hate it so much.
Yeah, even when I don't hear from Penguins fans, I know that they're thinking about contacting me. Or I'm sure that they are trying to, and I've blocked them and muted them in every way that I'm able to. So that is annoying. You're definitely right about that. We can get into both of those games here off the top on G&D. And, again, John Carlson is going to join us today at 2:45. We got to get back into Alex Smith. We had a lot of time to think about this and did a lot of reading and, you know, looking up some of the columns and the pieces that were written around the country on this. The Washington football team is getting bashed because of Alex Smith's comments in GQ, and I don't think they should. I really don't see where they did anything wrong here. I'm also seeing that it's being downplayed a little bit, like maybe Smith isn't actually upset and he was just making the observation that they weren't planning on him being there, which is different than him saying that they didn't want him here at all, which was also one of his quotes. So there's still a lot to chew on. I mean, that's the number one story in the country on ESPN.com right now still, if you go to their website 24 hours after that GQ piece dropped. And we've got to get into Tiger Woods as well. Really, really sad circumstance. Sounds like his legs have been surgically repaired. He is recovering from his non-threatening but serious injuries in the hospital. Brian Katrick of PGA Tour Network Radio is going to be with us tonight at 6 o'clock on the show before we get out of here to give us the latest on Tiger, one of the great athletes of all time, who finds himself in a terrible circumstance right now. A couple things out of the chute, Danny. It is beautiful outside.
It is perfect.
Hopefully you guys can get out, take the dog out on a walk, and take us with you on radio.com. Or if you're out in the car, put the windows down maybe for a couple of minutes before it gets too chilly. This is as good as it has gotten for a while. This is as good as it's going to get for some time. So bring us with you out and about it. If you're setting up some time outdoors today, make sure you got the app fired up and G&D are enjoying that sunshine with you. I went to a playground. Is this something that happens? So Madam President is coming up on 2 years old next month. At the end of the fall, when we were still going outside and regularly going to playgrounds, every single Sunday I would do my baseball show on Sirius XM, and then my routine was, before I started buckling down for Washington football pregame stuff, I would take her to the park. We would go to the park. We'd play. She'd go on the swing. She'd go down the slide. She loved it, right? She would just go round and around. I would sit there on the bench and watch her, and it was a great time. She was so petrified of everything today. She didn't want to go down the slide. She didn't want to go on the swings. When I tried to put her down on the mulch to walk around, She like scream cried. A massive regression, Danny. It was like she forgot everything. This was not riding a bike. In the end, I got her back on the swing, and she enjoyed that. She wouldn't go down the slide. She wouldn't even stand. I had to hold her in the mulch. Is this anything you've heard of? It's been 100%. Like 7 weeks. How did we forget all of the progress that we had made?
These are toddlers. This is what they do. They do these things. So, for example, a thing that we have not outgrown here at the old Hooray household, my soon-to-be three-year-old, I don't want that. You can pick whatever that is. I don't want it. You take it away. I want it. I offered it to you. Why didn't you take it? You could just have had it. I don't want it. You throw it away. I want it. You threw it away. We need to break this cycle. These sorts of things are normal. It's what toddlers do. They are insufferable. They are irrational, drunk adults that have a goal in mind, and they don't know how to express themselves or to get there. They are impossible. That's why they call it this. That's why they call it the terrible twos or the three-nager and all that other happy horse pucky. It's miserable. That's what they do. They are there to try your patience. So, yes, very normal.
Well, they win occasionally.
They win a lot.
And old 40 won today, I will tell you that. But we were back at the playground, which was cool, and it is nice enough outside that hopefully you can get outside and get a little exercise in today as you're listening to us. One other thing that has caught my attention before we get started, I don't know if there's anything on your slate that you want to just get off your chest. I saw a story this morning that a nutritionizer. A nutritionizer of nutrition told WBAL-TV that pizza is healthier for you for breakfast than cereal. Stands to reason, I would say. They're comparable in calories. Cereal has a lot of sugar. But I'm always looking just for something like that. Like that now in my mind, I'll program that. There's a chip that I'll now edit that'll say that pizza's great for you for breakfast.
That's a different leap there. It's not so much, it's less bad, which in my stupid brain goes, it's good for you.
This is how I did it for so many years, though. I would see something like this, where one person comes out and says, you're better off eating pizza for breakfast every morning than you are a bowl of cereal. And I hear that as the perfect and ideal breakfast for a healthy life is pizza. That's my translation.
The food pyramid has pizza at the bottom if you want to be a healthy pro athlete. That's basically how we translate that. And that's why we are pudgy zilches who constantly are fighting the battle with carbohydrates, sugar, and the like. But yes, I love those sorts of things where it's like, because remember, I'm old enough where the egg has been 20 different things. The best thing you could eat raises your cholesterol. Actually, no, it doesn't. Maybe it lowers it. Well, maybe it's you should eat them in moderation. Maybe you should eat a lot of them. Maybe eat some. Maybe eat just the white part. Maybe just the yellow part. Nobody knows. Nobody's been able to give me a definitive determination. And all the while, everything about nutrition has changed 77,000 times over. So the stuff that I learned when I was a kid is just flat out wrong. Like, I'm not even one of those things where, oh, I was a little bit misguided. It turns out we learned more. It's the opposite. The pyramid is a lie. But I've built my entire life basically thinking the most important thing to do is just get so much bread in you early in the day. That'll get you moving. Just different kinds of bread, whether it's bagels or toast, maybe bagel and toast. Maybe you top some toast right on top of your bagel. I don't know how you do it, but you got to get that stuff in you in order to have a good day. That's what I've learned. And that pizza for breakfast type situation sounds amazing. I'll sign up.
I've always been a huge fan of pizza in the morning.
Sure.
Pizza in the evening, pizza at any time. But I've always loved pizza for breakfast, cold pizza. Not the TV show on ESPN that went for a couple of years, if you remember, back in the day. But cold pizza in the morning, there are times when I'll take it over hot pizza for dinner. I love a good slice of cold pizza for breakfast. You wake up hungry, you're in the right mood, it hits, man. I don't know where people are generally on pizza for breakfast, but I'm a big cold pizza guy. And when I have pizza for breakfast, I'm not heating it up. We're going into the refrigerator, we're digging it out of that box, and it's going into my mouth, not the toaster oven, not the air fryer or whatever else you're going to use to heat it up. You a cold pizza guy?
I like cold pizza, but I prefer it hot and fresh. If that's the conversation. Like,
has there ever been a time though when you've liked a slice of cold pizza more than a hot pizza slice?
No, never. Now I will say that that's a better option than say the microwave. That's a better option than
not a fan.
A toaster oven you don't trust, right? But to me, like the hot and fresh out the kitchen, R. Kelly style, is your one seed. I think if you're in the right mood and it strikes you, especially with one of those hangovers I've heard so much about, you grab one of those slices of cold pizza with a Gatorade, you're doing all right. You're doing all right.
Pizza in the oven is the only way to reheat it. If you're doing it any other way, then I don't want it. I'll take it cold over anything else that you're doing. If it's being delivered straight from getting out of the oven at the restaurant in the box, yeah, the ceiling for that is higher than cold pizza. But
they got
all
that
other
heat,
ways,
that hot box, that hot that bag of heat. Yeah, I don't have to do that.
I want one of those bags. I want one at my house just to keep things in.
A heat bag? Ooh, yes.
When I see that bag, I think of Ninja Turtles for some reason. I think
because they're getting pizza delivered. Yeah.
Well, they're always getting pizza delivered, but also their boy who ends up helping them out is always like carrying that around and he's fighting the. It's not the Putty Patrol. Who are they? The Foot Clan? What is the name of it?
The Foot Clan. Yes. Wait, Casey Jones delivered pizza?
No, this is in one of the movies. This is not Casey Jones. This is you don't remember like the one where they have a house underground. It's really cool. They're like
it's a sewer. That's where they live. I mean, they're
of course. But you don't remember that? Do you remember the movie where their guy was a pizza delivery guy?
I'm blanking.
You know, he's carrying around the red bag.
I mean, April O'Neil's the most attractive person ever. We know that. I'm just trying to establish a baseline of what we know. And Shredder's the bad guy. Kang
Splinter's
is even
a good
worse.
Guy.
Yeah, Splinter. I train under my master. I used to love that. Like he's in the cage. First of all, I'm sure there's a rat in the cage, emulating the movements of a a kung fu master or whatever. Like that to me is the least realistic part about guys turtles getting hit with nuclear ooze that turn into ninjas. It's less realistic that this master Splinter learned kung fu by watching his master from a cage. There, I said that.
I think that's probably more realistic than the turtles getting those superpowers based on the news. But we appreciate that you guys are with us today. G&D presented by BetQL. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. All right, so last night's games. First of all, let's start with the Caps. They get a point. They go to overtime. They lose to the Penguins. They have now lost three of the four games they've played to Pittsburgh this year. They got outshot by 15 last night, 37-22. They got dominated in the faceoff dot, almost 6-4. This was not a pretty performance for the Capitals by any means. They were chasing the game, part of why they doubled up the Pens and hits 31-15. They just didn't have the puck a whole lot. They were 0-2 on the power play. They gave up a goal on the penalty kill, one of the two chances they had to shut the Penguins down. They ended up having to block more shots because Pittsburgh, again, had the puck and was firing it toward the net. They gave the puck away 9 times. Not pretty. I was just happy, frankly, that they got a point. They played a good second period. Otherwise, it wasn't all that impressive. The only note I'll give you on the positive end of things is that Connor Sherry continues to dominate his former team, scored another goal against the Penguins. He's got 5 now in his first season with the Caps in the bottom 6. I really like what I'm seeing from him. He got a goal on a Kuznetsov gorgeous pass last night to give the Caps their only lead 2-1. They would squander that lead. Jake Gensel scored right after that. And then in overtime, Kasperi Kapanen scored the game winner on a rush. But they just can't seem to get rolling, Danny. It seems like every time you think, all right, they've won a couple in a row or they've won 3 out of 4, it's time to stomp the gas pedal. Let's rip off 5, 6, 7 in a row with points. They can't seem to get there yet. And I think they will, but it just hadn't happened. They haven't turned that corner.
Yeah, if the overtime was still going, Pittsburgh would still have the puck. I think the goal came in a minute 43 of overtime, and Pittsburgh had the puck from minute 41. They kind of did whatever the hell they wanted with it, and it just sort of felt inevitable. That was a matter of time before they got that game winner. But I'm with you. Fits and starts are kind of the theme of this season for everybody, not just them. We're all dealing with kind of the same stuff. And at the end of the day, you look up there in a good spot in the division. So you don't really complain, but it just watching how some of these games have gone, whether they squandered enormous leads against these Penguins earlier this season or kind of didn't come out really looking particularly good against these Penguins. They were fortunate to only be down 1-0, I thought. And then, as you said, credit to them for having a much better second period. But, yeah, they can't seem to sort of solve this speed game of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's very fast, and that's kind of who they are. They're a team built on speed. And until you figure out how to solve that, I don't know. I think you're going to expect a lot more games like last night maybe.
Too early to start looking at the standings and start thinking about where you are and where you need to be. But just for the sake of folks knowing right now how things are stacking up, Washington in that loaded East division with 22 points is 1 point better than Pittsburgh. They're in second place, only 1 win and 2 points behind Boston for the top spot. So considering everything going on, they're actually doing fairly well after they started playing better hockey the last few days. But they have played 18 games. Nobody in the division has played more. There are teams in the division like New Jersey that's played 14 games. The Flyers, who are actually a contender, have 15 games played. So that's 3 games in hand. So let's say you win 2 of those, you get a point in the other. You know, they'd be 2 points better than Washington by the time they catch up in games played. So just a little bit early right now to look at the standings. They're -3 in goal margin. There are two teams with a positive goal margin in the division. Boston, far and away best at +15. And Barry Trotz's Islanders, who are a point worse than the Caps in the standings with the same number of games played, they've outscored their opponents by one goal. Meanwhile, on the hardwood last night, Danny, the Wiz were looking for a sixth straight win. They weren't able to get it. I'll tell you what, though. The script looked eerily similar going into the fourth quarter. I'm sitting here watching, and at halftime I'm thinking, okay, this is the correction that was coming. They're going to get blown out. Clippers are better, second night of a back-to-back. This was bound to happen. Then they scored 39 points in the third quarter. They have some of these quarters, by the way, where they cannot be stopped. They hit every shot. They get out in transition. They get easy looks and easy buckets. They were +12 in the third. They cut it to a five-point game going into the fourth, and it was just very clear that rallying the way that they did on the second night of a back-to-back, at the end of this run of games that they've had, they ran out of gas completely. They gave up 36 fourth-quarter points to the Clippers, were -14 in the frame, and they ended up losing by 19 points last night, which, don't get me wrong, a 19-point loss is never in the NBA anything where you look at it and you say, no problem, you only lost by 19. But you can kind of understand how we got here. They just didn't play well early, and I think they expended way too much energy getting back into the game.
A scheduled loss is kind of the way that you would describe it, right? The L.A. two-step, not many teams are going to go 2-0 in that, regardless of the status of the Lakers and who's healthy for them and who's not. That's LeBron James. And the Clippers right now are better than the Lakers are. The Clippers are a legit title contender. They're really good top to bottom. They're deep. They're excellent. Their two stars are outstanding and complement each other incredibly well. The resurgence of Nick Batum. I know he only had 4 points last night, but he's been sensational for them. They can beat you in a million different ways. And their bench is excellent. Reggie Jackson crushed the second unit of Washington. You're not going to win a game back on a second game of back-to-back against a really good team when you look at Bertans, Abdia, Lopez contributing as little as they did in this ballgame. It's just not going to happen. Like, you're not going to win without secondary guys or role players sort of stepping up in a major way. I know Mo Wagner had a nice game last night as kind of a supplement, but, you know, expected Beal and Westbrook playing a 40 minutes each on top of the night before where they played 45 minutes. It's just too much of an ask to beat a team like the Clippers. So I'm not daunted necessarily. Now, if they go into a little bit of a schneid as they kind of move forward, they're playing a good Nuggets team, I think, coming up. That's something. But at this stage, I'm not sort of taking too much out of last night. They were game. They were competitive, and they got back into it.
Next on Grant and Danny, very frightening, very depressing. The latest on the crash that Tiger Woods was involved in yesterday that has left him hospitalized. We're hoping will not end his golf career, but at this point there are bigger questions, like when he'll be able to walk and play with his kids again. And we'll get into that in a moment here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today at 7:12 in the morning, Lomita Sheriff Station received a call of a solo vehicle collision in Hawthorne Boulevard north of Palos Verdes Drive. We arrived on scene at 7:18 a.m. and discovered the solo vehicle collision, and the sole occupant was, again, Tiger Woods. And deputies at the time, they did not see any evidence of impairment, anything that of concern. Obviously, the life-threatening measures that had to be taken for the occupant of the vehicle.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan as the details continue to come out on the car crash Tiger Woods was involved in yesterday morning. They're troubling. They're depressing. And your fingers are crossed that he can make a full and a speedy recovery. That cut there was from the press conference yesterday from the L.A. County Sheriff's Department where we found out some of what happened. The story, apparently, Danny, is that a little bit after 7 in the morning, it sounds like Woods was on his way to an event at a golf course. He's been doing a photo shoot with different celebrities, some kind of filming that's being done on behalf of Oprah's company, where he was working with Dwayne Wade 2 days ago, and then yesterday morning he was supposed to be shooting with Drew Brees and Justin Herbert, the quarterback of the Chargers. And those guys were waiting for him at the golf course and had no idea why he was late, and I guess they just went out to the range and started driving balls waiting for him, and nobody knew at the time that he was trapped in his vehicle, and eventually law enforcement would get there and have to break his windshield to get him out. Very, very scary. The update, as many of you have probably heard at this point, is that he did have surgery to repair compound fractures in his legs, very serious injuries to his legs, but non-threatening as far as his life. And it sounds as though he's going to have a long road ahead, but that he is going to make it. And I got to tell you, as we were watching some of this during the show yesterday, after the show yesterday, I hate to say this, but there were shades to me that brought me back to the Kobe Bryant situation, where it's these aerial shots of whether it's, you know, seeing the wreckage of a helicopter crash or this car that went end over end like a football that's now mauled up and isn't even recognizable as a vehicle. And it's one of the great athletes ever, and people are worried about their well-being, and it brought me back to that. I'm just very, very happy and glad that he survived, and it sounds like his life is not on the line as he recovers in the hospital right now.
Yeah, I echo that. First off, just, you know, it sounds like, obviously I'm not on the scene, I'm not a doctor, but it sounds like reading the same thing everyone else is, that hopefully he's going to pull through and be okay, which is obviously the most important thing. But just immediately my brain went to two places, quite frankly. First, as you said, was Kobe Bryant, and I sort of had that pang of pain and kind of remembering, you know, those moments when we found out, and it seems surreal, and you go, oh my God, I just can't believe that's true, and here we are, you know, are we facing something similar here? And the second thing that I thought of immediately, and I don't know how to say this without it sounding very awkward, was the initial report that we got years ago. The entire incident with his then wife and the golf club and hitting this car, and what we initially heard, oh, it was this accident, and it was that. And I kind of thought of the parallels between them, and I'm not saying that's what this is, but I was immediately harkened back to that moment and kind of all the rush of the tabloid type stuff.
Well, it was Tiger Woods and car crash. And it was
Tiger Woods
and
car crash. Yeah, and that's why. And then, you know, of course, the darker stuff came in when it came to, you know, Kobe Bryant and that tragedy and everybody's, you know, including his daughter and those lives that were lost then. But and then you just kind of sit there glued to reports, hoping that you get some good news. And it sounds like relatively that there has been just that.
Fingers crossed for him and his family. You know, we just watched him play in a tournament a couple months ago with his son. And the images that came out of that, the videos that came out of that were beautiful. And it was awesome to see. It's funny how those things hit you differently now as a parent, as I've grown with two kids. And it's just, it's one of those things, if you're listening and you don't have kids, younger or older, you know, you kind of roll your eyes at or whatever. I never really got it, and I heard people talk about this. But when you get to see him playing with his kid in that tournament, it really was a neat thing. And the number one priority, just like we said with Alex Smith, by the way, who Tiger Woods I think should talk to at some point in this recovery. But let's make sure that you're there for your family, that you're available for your family, and that you can go to the driving range and stand there and hit golf balls and help your son. I mean, that's number one. Everyone wants to talk about if he can play golf again or what's going to happen with his comeback. And is he ever going to, forget winning a Masters, is he ever going to play in a round of golf again in the PGA Tour? But there are bigger fish to fry initially than that. I will say on that note, though, I believe he's 45 years old, mm-hmm. and he had 5 knee surgeries and 4 back surgeries, and his body is broken down. And his body, sadly enough, Danny, kind of abandons him constantly before this accident. So now you add this crash and the leg injuries, which are apparently very serious, to the equation. And I can go through the details because I was reading them today, if you're interested, in terms of the screws that are inserted and the rods in his legs and all these things that just happened to kind of get him to a point where he's going to be able, hopefully, to walk again, Alex Smith style, and some of the contraptions and medicine that's going to be necessary to get him there. But it's just... it's hard to imagine we'll ever see him play golf again. And again, I'm admitting while saying this that this is not the number one priority here. But as a sports show, he's the greatest golfer of all time. He's one of the greatest athletes who's ever lived. Everything he does on a golf course is national news. When he comes back, when he plays in tournaments, the ratings are bigger, the interest is up. And that may be over after yesterday. And it's hard not to at least make that part of this discussion, even if it is secondary in terms of importance.
Yeah, when he plays well, it's a story. When he doesn't play well, it's a story. When he's involved, right. It's a story. When he's not, it's a story. Sorry, he casts a shadow over all of it, everything that has to do with golf. And I know some on the tour don't love that fact, you know. But sorry. Apologies about your increased paychecks because of interest having to do with Tiger Woods. But, yeah, I think you said it very well. There's a strict line in my life, a dividing line in my life. It's before I had kids and I thought I understood and I didn't. After I have kids, now I understand. So it's if you're somebody out there that's living a life without kids, that's awesome. That's cool. Do whatever you want, whatever makes you happy. It's just different. And I don't know how to explain that until you go through that process that so many of us here at the station and folks listening have gone through. And that's the priority. That's what matters, is what can you be there for your kids, and just your whole perspective and where you're placed at the table, how relevant you are, what you're willing to do, how you're willing to do it, whatever it is now not for you anymore. You were the center of a universe that ceases in a Thanos-style snap, and it's now about the next, your progeny when it comes to that, and that's absolutely right.
Justin Thomas, who's been one of the best golfers on the planet in calendar years, where he's won the most money in PGA, has a good relationship with Tiger. Here's what he had to say yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sick to my stomach. You know, it hurts to see one of your, now my closest friends, get in an accident. And, man, I just hope he's all right. Just worry for his kids, you know. I'm sure they're struggling.
And that's the first thought I think you have, right, is, man, strangers who have never met the guy, who just watch him play golf and love him because he's a good athlete. Their days, their weeks, their months changed for the worse yesterday. His kids' lives were altered dramatically yesterday, very negatively. Tony Finau, a 31-year-old golfer in the PGA, also offering his thoughts as the golf world responded to the news last night.
Well, I saw the condition of his car, and for me, it was just, you would just hope that he's okay. You know, that's the biggest reaction, really. A little bit of shock, you know, it's... something crazy happened to our sports world last year with Kobe. So, you know, I wouldn't say that dramatic of feelings, but, man, you just hope Tiger's all right, you know. And we all know he's a strong cookie physically, mentally. So if someone's going to get through this, he will and be back for the better, I'm sure. But, you know, our thoughts and prayers, I'm sure as a whole, all the players I can speak on their behalf are with Tiger.
The comp to Kobe keeps coming up. You and I mentioned it.
It's inevitable,
now.
Yeah.
How can you not? And I get the difference in scope. You know, it's a helicopter crash and that Kobe's a literal victim in the back seat. I mean, he's got nothing to do with, right? Tiger Woods is driving a vehicle. We don't know what happened or how, lost control, and it goes end over end down a hill or into a field and comes to a stop. One gets injured and survives. The other dies tragically, and his daughter, in a sickening, awful turn of events, has her life end before she's in high school, which is just so terrible. But it's the feeling of yesterday. I mentioned the aerial shots, Danny. You were just brought right back to it.
Right.
I think it's the fact that are two of the greatest athletes of the 2000s and two of the greatest that have ever lived in their sports. But it's just the not knowing initially are these reports true? What's going on? I remember the first thing Dara said to me yesterday was, hey, there are these reports that Tiger Woods was in a bad car accident. I'm like, who's saying it? Some random Twitter account. That happens sometimes, and then Tiger Woods comes out and says, I'm fine, and you're always kind of hoping that that's the case. There are PGA Tour players, execs, saying that they're not going to give up hope, that they think that Tiger's going to play again. Bryson DeChambeau is one of them who says don't count him out at this point.
I will say that whatever's happened, he's always come back from it in a pretty amazing way. He's an amazing human being that has done incredible things. I mean, you look back to Ben Hogan and what happened with him in the bus crash, right? And what he was able to do after that. And so I have no doubt in my mind he'll be back, and take him a little longer, I'm sure. But from my perspective, he's one of the most impressive human beings I've ever met. And I think that he'll come back just fine.
I'm not even sort of ready to prognosticate about that yet, GP. I kind of like, I don't know. And I'm still, and here's the other thing I thought of, and I got to do this quickly, I know, but I couldn't help but think of Sean Taylor. And the reports kind of as it went, when I heard, oh, this is tragedy, this is so awful, this is bad. Oh, well, he was hit in the leg, so he'll be fine, you know? And then the reports kept getting more dire and more dire, and it just seemed impossible. And so I need a, let's see Tiger Woods, let's have him at the podium before we start talking about the next step in terms of him coming back and hitting a golf ball again.
Understood. I just think that's a way to show support for him, if you're DeChambeau, and for a lot
sure.
of people. Is to say Tiger's been through a lot. He's come out of all those things. He won again. He
right.
was the top of the mountain as the champion of the tournament that everybody wants to win after his 9 surgery on his knee and back. This is just another hurdle to climb. More on this story as it develops throughout the day and with Brian Katrick of PGA Tour Network Radio coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. We're going to get into what Alex Smith said about the Washington football team at 3 o'clock. But next, John Carlson of the Caps. Got to ask him about the Pens game last night and what lies ahead. This is The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. Each and every Wednesday at 2:45, we talk to Caps defenseman John Carlson. Last night, John, you guys had a shot at the Penguins. You go to overtime and end up falling 3-2. It's odd because you guys are playing better, but four games against Pittsburgh this year, they've come out on the better end on three of those games. Give us an idea of the matchup and why things have broken in their favor so far this season.
Yeah, I think it's they're obviously a good team with a lot of talent up and down their lineup and are playing pretty well right now. So I think I look to, you know, this game and our last meeting in Pittsburgh, that very, very close games, very even games throughout, and just little things that have made the difference. And I think that's what stings the most is, you know, you put the work in to give yourself a chance, and whether it's a little slip here or there, you know, whether it's a little part of our game like it has been that maybe has lagged behind the rest of it, that's cost us, and that's how you wind up on the wrong side of things.
Kind of a slow start for you guys last night, I felt like. Is that something that you thought, you know, I guess, let me rephrase that. Did you guys feel like you got off to kind of a slow start last night and, you know, you picked it up as the game kind of went on to kind of get back into it and take a lead? How did you feel about how you guys came out?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's been a couple games now, and it's been addressed and talked about a lot. So I really, you know, that was probably my biggest disappointment in the game, I would say, is something that we talked about so much over the previous couple days, and still came out with that dull start. So that was you know, something that we'll continue to learn from and make sure that we correct, because a lot of the times, especially as the games get closer and closer and into playoff time, you know, scoring first really matters. And I think you know, in the beginning of the year, we seemed to come out a lot better, and I think our record showed that it made a difference, even though we weren't even playing as good as we are now.
John Carlson on Grant and Danny. Caps drop their overtime game with the Penguins last night. They did get a point, and they have a point now in four of their last five, joining us for his weekly appointment here on The Fan. Connor Sheary, a former Penguin, seems to just love playing Pittsburgh. You'll hopefully never have to deal with this, John. You've been a Capital your entire career. But when you talk to your teammates about playing a former employee, what do they tell you? Because Sheary has 8 points in eight games with six goals against Pittsburgh, and it's one of his main contributions to this team this year seems to come every time you guys play Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's a good thing we play him so many times, too. It must be odd, I think. He's been away from there a little bit prior to here, so I think that maybe helps. I think maybe the first couple of games probably feel pretty odd, I would imagine. But you know, incentive. I think I've talked about it with you guys before, and as time goes on, and guys in the league for so many years now, each game you kind of try to pinpoint one thing to mentally, you know, focus a little bit more than you would a normal game. And I think certainly whatever switch goes off in his head against, you know, former teams seems to be working for him.
John Carlson, Washington Capitals defenseman with us here on Grant and Danny. John, have you gotten used to this yet? This weird little, like, two-game series at a time, and you played the Penguins, it feels like a million times already. Have you gotten used to kind of the rhythm of this series, or this season, rather?
Yeah, I think so. I think everything's pretty well oriented. I think, you know, I guess each opponent doesn't really matter that much in the grand scheme of things, the way that we prepare for each team. Like I've said before, I think it helps, you know, learning each other as teammates. I think there's a lot of new parts, new coaches, that it makes it a lot easier to kind of break down the previous game and roll it into the next one. I think that's been a huge help and probably a time saver for the coaches in that sense of not breaking down old film that you're going to, you know, play them in a couple weeks or months from now, but, you know, a day or 2 days later. So that's, in that sense, it's been great. I think, you know, as the season progresses, who knows, I think it can be a little bit of a letdown playing the same team over and over and again, it seems like, but with our schedule this year, who knows what's going to happen. Every time I look at my phone, I think one of our games gets switched around or something like that. So not putting too much of an onus on that and just worrying about showing up and doing my best.
John Carlson will be with us all season long on Grant and Danny. You're in the sandwich day off here between the slices of bread that is games against Pittsburgh and a stretch where you're going to be playing them a whole bunch to wrap up your season series with the Pens. But you were saying that you got to get one of the kids to hockey practice today. I'm wondering what kind of hockey dad John Carlson is. Like, when you show up at the rink, everyone's going to be trying to get you out on the ice to ask questions. Do you sit in the background? Are you calling out schemes from the bench? Like, what are you doing?
Well, he's only five, so it's not very intense yet, I would say. And no, I think maybe someday, but certainly I want him to just love what he's doing out there. I don't want to be involved in that side of things. I think it's tough as a parent, as a player, I want him to do what he wants to do. And so we'll see what happens with his love for it. I think right now it seems like he's been really interested his whole life. So it's been a blast just being able to watch it happen.
Do you think you're going to graduate to overbearing hockey dad? I mean, I know I'm looking forward to it as a little league dad, John. Like, it's like a birthright for us, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to try to stay away. I think maybe there's probably some more pressure on him than needs to be a young kid growing up and trying to do his own thing. So I would like to help him as much as I can, but also give him the run of the land and see if he really loves it. I love all sports. I want my kids to play sports, but I'm not going to force him into something he doesn't want to do.
John Carlson with us on G&D. Do you get a decent, like a cheap meal in season on a day like today? Like, will you have something for dinner that you order out and carry out to bring to the house, or do you eat really well all season long?
Well, I think it just depends on the schedule. I think it depends on, you know, what's cooking in the house too. I think maybe game days and maybe the night before a game are probably, the most structured or ritualistic, I would say, in terms of what we're putting in our bodies to perform. But other than that, I think, you can have cheap meals a lot. I think there's a lot of work to be done on the ice, and certainly you got to enjoy yourself a little bit off it.
John, you're the best, buddy. Always appreciate it, dude. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
John Carlson on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Alex Smith says the Washington football team did not want him on the roster last season. Did the team do anything wrong? We'll get into that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.